Welcome to the Pop Culture Pod Podcast. Now let's begin.
Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished. He awoke to find himself trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not his own, and driven by an unknown force to change history for the better. His only guide on this journey is Al, an observer from his own time, who appears in the form of a hologram that only Sam can see and hear. And so Dr. Beckett finds himself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong, and hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home.
Hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and I have two of my co-hosts here this evening with me, in no particular order. First up, Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
Oh, good. Hello, everyone.
And last but not least is Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
It's going well tonight, guys. Now, I know both of you are further north than I am, but today when I got home, I immediately had to open doors and windows and curtains because it was just finally warm enough to open stuff up, get a breeze going through the house. Nice. And then as I was, peek behind the curtain, we're recording this at nighttime, but I forgot I did all this, and I was walking by open windows, being the only light on in the area, and everything else dark. I'm hoping I didn't do anything embarrassing while walking past the window.
It's not too bad here. Like I know next week it's forecast double digits. In Canada, I think the highest one was like 17 degrees Celsius, which is pretty warm for Canada. As we record, I'm in my room, and I got my window open, just to, otherwise it'd be too warm in here, so. But,
yesterday was quite warm here.
Yes.
It got up to, 20.
Oh, wow.
Today is raining. Yeah, today is cold and rainy, so.
It was windy earlier, and it's a bit of a cold wind, but now it's calmed down, and it's not too bad. But, all right, for this episode, our topic is streaming killed the video store? ? We're reminiscing about the old, good old-fashioned video stores, the movie stores. The ones we used to go to rent movies and then later rent video games. In the early days, we used to rent VCRs from there to watch movies. Because we couldn't afford a VCR, I guess. So anyway, what inspired me for this episode is the documentary film that is now on Netflix called The Last Blockbuster. And it's featuring the last Blockbuster movie store in Oregon. I can't remember the name of the town.
Bend.
Yes, yeah. And Yeah, they're still making a go of it, using the Blockbuster name, with approval from, I believe, AT&T owns Blockbuster.
DirecTV.
Okay. So they got approval to keep going as Blockbuster. And it's a really neat documentary. And people, you know, like most towns, like I know, like, for myself, like our movie store closed, I want to say 3 years ago. And, you know, it was sad, but I mean, to be honest with you, probably for the last 10 years prior, I barely ever went in there. The only reason I went in there was to basically buy movies. You know, like if there was a movie that was released that I really wanted and didn't feel like doing the trip to the city, or, you know, didn't want to wait for Amazon, I would go there. But then I actually stopped going there because it was actually way more expensive to order through them. But before they closed, I actually bought the Back to the Future trilogy on Blu-ray for, I think I paid like $20. And it was in great condition. Like, it's used, obviously, but it was in great condition. All right, so my first question to you boys, have you seen the documentary, The Last Blockbuster? And what did you think if you had? Kevin, did you see it at all?
I did. Once we were discussing this as a future topic, I went ahead and watched it on Netflix in US. Surprised by how much of it was your group of stand-up comedians talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, it's people I'm familiar with. Kevin Smith, which actually Kevin Smith made a lot of sense to be on here.
Oh, yeah.
With his beginnings. But then Brian Posehn is on it, Doug Benson, Ron Funches. And I thought, I like these people. I enjoy their comedy. But unless they also worked in video stores or have some sort of connection like Kevin Smith does, why are you here?
Yeah.
I think if it was a movie with a bigger budget or, you know, a bigger name producer or whatever, Tarantino would have been a good one to get involved in it.
That's what I was thinking. Yep.
But even that, so it was still fun to watch, and the memories, and a lot of them were saying stuff that I just flat out forgot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's been long enough. It seems like yesterday we had video stores, but it's also been a while that it changed your weekend plans, it changed your dating plans, it changed everything without having that as an option.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing some of them talk about, oh, this is what I used to do in my teens and 20s. So it's like, geez, I forgot how big a part of it was.
Yep.
And then just to see the last store there hanging on by a thread.
Literally.
It feels like, yeah, it felt like where the last gasp of something that used to happen, and who's going to archive it. And I pay attention to a lot of that stuff now with blogging and library stuff of, you know, someone has to keep at least one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't throw it all away. And that's kind of what they're doing. It's like an active museum in a way.
Yep. Yep, exactly. I thought the documentary, you know, like, I agree with you, Kevin. I didn't understand why some of the comedians were there. I did like some of the regular folk that they had on there. Like, I know, like, the one guy, like, he lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows, like, his journey. Like, he has to cross, the rail tracks. And, yeah.
That montage was hilarious.
Yeah. And
he comes out of the public bathroom. And he's like leaving his house. I'm like, that's a public bathroom.
But yeah, it was very nostalgic. It really was. And it was cool that they have this notoriety now and people actually go there to see, you know, this last Blockbuster. I, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I've ever been in a Blockbuster. I was trying to think, in the last few years, a town near here called Spruce Grove had, and I'm trying to remember if it was a Blockbuster or if it was like a Rogers Video. I want to say it was a Blockbuster. Because they also had another Rogers video, so I'm thinking it might have, I might have been in a Blockbuster, but it was like at the tail end, like, and it wasn't there very long. Like, it was there for maybe, I'm guessing, 5 years before it went under. But yeah, I did really enjoy the documentary, and so much so that I wanted to, you know, do an episode talking about video stores. Ragnar, what was your thoughts on the film, The Last Blockbuster?
Well, I watched it this afternoon in preparation for the episode, and my parents are here in town, so I watched it with them. And so it was a little bit annoying because my dad didn't know who any of the celebrities were. So I constantly had to explain who these people were. And then he was like, oh, so they're nobodies? I'm like, yeah, most of them are.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah. Watching TV with a, you know, 7-year-old, that's what you get. But what I found, the first half of the documentary I thought was awesome. They talk about the history of movie rentals and then how Blockbuster grew and how it, you know, eventually became a bit of an evil corporation and forced all a bunch of these small businesses out, and then how it went out of business and how it wasn't exactly just that Netflix killed it. It was more just like death by a thousand cuts. Mm-hmm. You know, DVDs were cheaper to buy at home. TVs were bigger at home. There was different streaming services starting up. Like, there was all these different things that contributed to it. And then when the stock market crashed, the main investor lost too much money and couldn't keep the thing going anymore. And you know, and they talked about how if that had have happened differently, we could have had Blockbuster instead of Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that part super interesting. The second half of the documentary was basically just these comedians and B-list actors goofing off. And for some reason, they filmed it. And I found that got kind of tedious.
Yeah.
But the first half, it was awesome. I learned stuff. It was interesting. It was funny. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. But, I mean, when you start getting to the point where it's just people goofing off, you could turn it off and you're not going to miss anything.
Well, and it's sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm done. Yeah.
There's a few documentaries that you can find on various streaming stuff about the love of VHS and VHS going away and the people collecting it now and the history of it and what movies are available and why it meant so much. And part of it's about the video store, and it's the entire documentary. It doesn't have random people that are somewhat known except your father, but you know, it's more common everyday people for it, but it's at least focused mm-hmm. on it. For the mm-hmm. length of the documentary, like you're saying, the split here, which I was actually thinking, did I mess up something? Did I miss the middle? And this is like the end credits where everyone's just doing their little one-liners and stuff.
Right. That's, you got a good point there.
I wonder if maybe it had something to do with the pandemic. Like, maybe they didn't, you know, because of, you know, the you know, the different you know, like, I don't know what the Oregon restrictions were like, but you know, maybe they weren't able to, you know, get out and get more footage or get interviews with certain people, so they just kind of went local, I guess, for this.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible that they had planned something different, and then because of the pandemic, perhaps it got in the way and they had to just use what they had.
Yeah, because
I mean, really, they have the ending there.
Mm-hmm.
Once the store gets that call, they have the ending. Anything else is filler now that you got your ending. So, I could see that. Well, let's pad out with what we already have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or perhaps Netflix came back and said, we need this thing to be longer. So
no.
We don't want an hour-long documentary. We want an hour and a half. So go put some more footage in. Who knows?
Yep. All right, so my next question is, what was your local movie store or stores like growing up? You know, like, where did you go for your movies? I remember the first time we ever rented movies, like, as a kid. It was, like, there is like in the town I live right now, there was a movie store called Entertainment Galore. And they had VHS. They probably had Beta in the beginning, I'm not sure. And you could rent VCRs. So I remember my cousins actually started like a little, they had a deal with Entertainment Galore to start like a wing franchise, I guess, out of their house. So I remember going to my cousin's house to rent movies and stuff. Like they fixed up their porch into a little movie store. And I remember my mom renting a VCR and us renting movies. I want to say one of the first things I remember renting was the animated Hobbit movie. So this is a long time ago. And of course, He-Man. And I remember there was a neighbor of my grandma and grandpa's, too, that also did that. I don't know if they were affiliated with Entertainment Galore, but I know they rented movies out of the porch of their house. Like, you go into their porch, and it's wall-to-wall movies. It's just like going to a movie store. Eventually, Entertainment Galore bought a house in our nearest town, which is Fort Assiniboine. At the time, it was a village. It has since become a hamlet. It's not very big. There's only like maybe 200 people that live in there. But they bought a house and converted it into a movie store. And that's where I primarily rented my films growing up. Eventually my mom's friend bought the business, because Entertainment Galore went out of business in the late 90s. So my mom's friend bought the Fort Assiniboine store and turned it into Video Gems, and basically it stayed the same. They rented movies. They bought most of the backlog from the Barhead store, and you know, her name was Helen. She would get in new movies all the time and video games and all that kind of stuff. Occasionally, I would rent movies from Barhead. Barhead had a video store called 24 Hour Video, which was a franchise, I believe, in the 80s. But ironically, the 24 Hour Video store, like the idea is that it's open 24 hours a day. And they tried that and it didn't work because nobody got to the video store at 2 in the morning. Except unless they were drunk or disorderly. So they were only open from like maybe 10 in the morning till 10 at night. So they were a 12-hour, 24-hour video. And then a couple of the gas stations in Barhead would rent movies. We had a north side and a south side Red Rooster that used to rent movies and video games. They had like a little section in their convenience store. And I used to rent videos from another store when I lived north of Fort Assiniboine called Camp Creek Store. Again, it's just a small, you know, gas station / convenience store along the highway. But I really liked going there because, they had the original Star Wars trilogy. So I used to rent Star Wars from there a lot. And then, Barhead got, what do they call it? Video. It's a Canadian franchise called Video Update, which eventually transitioned into Movie Gallery. So that's where I used to rent, like 20 years ago, that's where I was renting my movies, was from Movie Gallery. I had an ex-girlfriend that worked there, so I used to hang out there quite a bit. And then the last movie store that existed in Barhead was Movie Gallery, like the last franchise. And then when they went out of business, a guy bought their store and their inventory and changed it to Movie World. And then they since closed, I want to say, 3 years ago. But, yeah, I loved going to the video store. I loved, you know, I I loved, you know, the atmosphere. I loved the candy, the popcorn. You know, like, I know in that documentary they talked about the smell, you know, like, of the video store. And I loved, like, because Entertainment Galore, like I said, the Barhead store was, like, the big store, and then Fort Assiniboine was, like, the little store, the satellite store. But they used to, like, if there was a certain movie you wanted, a certain, you know, series, you can order it. Like, if they had it, they would send it out and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it wasn't until, like, honestly, these last few years, like, you know, I've gotten so used to streaming now. There's so many streaming services available now. There's so much content available now. I forgot just how much I miss the experience of going to the store. And yeah, this documentary definitely hit all the nostalgia feelers for sure. Kevin, what was your local movie store or stores like?
Say, because part of your question here is the video stores, which when I first started or first remember it, you know, going with mom and, you know, it's a family thing. Myself and my brother could each pick out one movie. It was the little setups inside of grocery stores where they would just put up some shelves in the area that, you know, the grocery store didn't use that much. And that was their video rental store.
Yep.
So, you know, the A&P, for an example, you had to have your A&P video rental card. So depending on where mom was doing groceries, oh, I'm doing groceries. Do you got voicemail? Well, which one are you going to? And she could yeah, because, well, it depends. Can we rent a movie there or not?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And
she would leave us there, too. Like, she's shopping. She would just go up and down the aisles, do her shopping while we went through the videos and decided what we wanted.
Yep.
And just wander around. But she knew where to find us, too. And there were, great. Yeah, and there were some of them that, you know, was a small little thing. But others I knew, like, the back of my hand. Oh, I want to rent this tonight. I know exactly what shelf it's on. There was a chain when I was younger called Farmhouse that took, I mean, it was the size of a store within the store. I don't know what it was originally for, you know, what department they decided they weren't going to have anymore and just converted it all into video. But it was the size of a video store just within this, like, big box store kind of thing. So I would just hang out there the whole time my mom's shopping, a good hour or so finding stuff. But when I started, that was the best place to find wrestling, other than Saturday morning. We couldn't, like, every so often I could talk my mom into a pay-per-view, or, you know, some kid at school would have a tape and, you know, bring in a copy for people and all. But that was exactly how I got so much wrestling stuff. We didn't have HBO, but the babysitter did. So frequently there are movies that I knew I liked or wanted to, you know, I didn't get to finish and wanted to watch the rest of. So that's why I looked for at the video store. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon was a big one for me. I love that movie still to this day. Ended up having to get a VHS of it, and I have it on DVD. I wouldn't get cartoons because somehow it felt like a waste of a rental in a way. Like, it's going to tick me off if the one, you know, episode of Thundercats on this VHS is the same episode that's going to play this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, then I'm out a rental, I guess was my attitude.
I kind of remember that feeling myself.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I remember cartoons are a waste. They're on TV. Get something we can't watch normally.
Yeah. And I remember there was a place called Bandito Video that was closest. But then we had, like, Ultimate Video, Video to Roll, Video Loft. And I would just, you know, you're hanging out with a friend. Oh, let's go to the video place that's closer to where you live because it's different than the one I'm used to going to. And it was just an experience of always seeing what's new. As you get older, then you get to rent other stuff. So I remember one of my friends, when he was 18 and old enough, he wanted to get all of the Faces of Death movies, which, looking back, internet age are nothing, but at the time were so violent and horrible and disturbing. And of course we thought everything was real, even though looking back I think, like, most of it wasn't real. Yeah. But it looked it.
Yep.
And then, of course, you discover, you know, the saloon door, the beaded curtain area.
Oh, yeah. The door.
One of them, it wasn't a separate area. It was just the last row. So you could be over whatever, you know, the second to last row was. Like, here's the horror or documentaries or something. You turn the corner and it's like, oh, that's a lot of big box VHS back here.
Yep.
Also sub thing here. How come in video rental area the only two tapes that came in a larger case was Disney and porn?
Yeah, right.
Not quite sure how that one worked out.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, there was a lot of points made on that documentary of that was such a great way to discover stuff though.
Mm-hmm.
Just walking up and down the aisles, kind of like you weren't really hanging out. You weren't really loitering. You're just taking your time to make a decision. And I'm guilty of doing it and drives my wife nuts, but I know I'm in the minority. I will sit there and go through like my Roku and just randomly browse, you know, different apps and what's in the app and look through and, you know, go on different sites that list it. And I'm like, I wasted an hour trying to find something to watch, whereas if I just had picked something an hour ago, I'd be halfway through a movie by now.
Yep.
Now it's an hour later, I have no movie, and I'm tired.
Yep, I am very much the same. Very much the same. Mm-hmm. All right, Ragnar, what was your local movie store or stores like?
Well, I don't really have a lot of memories of Blockbuster. I know they existed, and I knew that they had the best selection.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, we didn't rent at them. Maybe it was more expensive. I'm not sure. The first video rental store that I remember was some little independent one, and it was in the Save on Foods grocery store that we went to. And I remember it had a very distinct smell. I'm trying to put the smell into words, and it's kind of like plastic and popcorn and vomit is the best that I could put up with it. Because it's not 100% good smell. It's
no.
A little bit bad. But yeah, every movie store has that kind of specific smell. And I remember renting Godzilla versus Mothra.
Ooh.
One of the first movies that I remember, like, you're allowed to pick a movie, and that was one of the first ones I remember picking. And, you know, and of course, just falling in love with the entire Godzilla franchise from there. And I do remember our home VCR broke, and I do remember a long period of time where we had to rent a VCR because we didn't have one. And then I remember when I moved out of my parents' house, there was a Video Update, which was a spin-off of Movie Gallery. It was kind of like their discount arm. And it was near in a shopping mall near where I was living. And they had the, like, 7 movies for 7 days for $7 kind of deals.
Yep.
And I used to go in there every week and pick out 7 new movies to watch. And I had all sorts of old movies. Like, one of the first ones I remember picking from there was George A. Romero's Day of the Dead. Cool. And one of my favorite zombie films, probably my favorite Romero film, and there's a scene where they're operating on a zombie and then it rolls over and all of its guts spill out. And I remember, okay, nowadays I've seen way worse stuff, but at that time, that was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen, and I almost threw up watching it. It was awesome. So yeah, those are the movie chains that I remember. And then here in Saskatoon, where I live now, up until really recently, the Blockbuster building was still there and the sign was still up. But I think they went out of business like 5 or 10 years ago. And it was torn down last year. Now it's a bank. Mm. But I remember for the longest time, you could still see the sign. And it was like, oh, yeah, cool. But they're long gone now.
Yep. All right. Well, my next question for you guys is favorite rentals. I know you guys already kind of mentioned a few, but what were some of your go-tos in terms of renting? For me, a couple movies in particular really stick out. The 1989 Batman and the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I remember renting those and loving them and being so excited for them, and so much so that I just remember Entertainment Galore like bought so many videotapes of those because they knew that so many people are going to be renting them, that for Christmas, like, because they must have been released like in the summer or something, or fall, that they ended up selling like their excess rentals. And I remember getting each one of those for Christmas. And I knew they were from Entertainment Galore because the VHS still had the sticker on them. So I still remember those. Like, where I grew up, we didn't get WWF. We just got, like, that Saturday Maple Leaf Wrestling highlight show that WWF used to do. So I used to watch a lot of the WrestleManias and stuff like that on VHS rentals. Same with G.I. Joe and Transformers. We didn't have any channel that aired those cartoons, so I used to rent them from the video store. And like I said, that old Camp Creek store that I used to rent movies from, I used to rent Star Wars from them, because what I think some people don't realize is back in the 80s and even till the mid 90s, George Lucas didn't really sell the Star Wars trilogy that much. Like, he would sell them, and then they would go out of print, I guess, or go back in the vault or whatever, like what Disney used to do. So you couldn't just go out and buy Star Wars, because, you know, they weren't making them for sale at certain points. So I had to rent Star Wars a lot. I did rent them from Entertainment Galore, but I particularly remembering renting them from Camp Creek. And I remember renting Star Trek movies, of course. But one film series I got into and that I love and is near and dear to my heart because of the video store is the original Planet of the Apes. The Charlton Heston, you know, like the first five films. I had never watched them before. And I remember they showed up at I want to say summer of 1990. They showed up at our video store. And I remember my mom saying, "Oh, I think you'll like this." Oh, okay. So I remember renting it and just being blown away. I was like, "Oh my God, this is awesome." And I remember watching with my little sister. I remember watching the second movie. And then, like, how the hell is there three more movies after they've blown up the Earth? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But then, you know, we went back and rented the third movie. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is awesome." So, yeah, I would never have discovered that franchise had it not been for Entertainment Galore. And I gotta say, you know, like that like my local video store, Entertainment Galore, there was a lot of good people that worked there too. You know, like some of my, you know, I said like my mom's friend took it over, but my mom had other friends that worked there. My sister worked there, when she was in high school, and, you know, a lot of good people worked there. You know, it was a good place. Kevin, what are some of your favorite rentals?
So I did say earlier that I didn't have that I didn't want to do cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that my reasoning was, I don't want to rent, you know, one episode of Thundercats, as I said, and then it's an episode on this weekend. However, my theater, to my knowledge, or at least my mom didn't let me know, never got the Transformers movie.
Mm.
So as soon as I saw that available for VHS rental, I had to do it.
Yep.
And then likewise, the G.I. Joe movie was, it was ran often in syndication, never came out in theaters. So it was just five episodes during the week, Monday through Friday.
I would always end up missing one. I'd miss Tuesday's episode or Wednesday's episode or something. It took me forever to watch the whole movie. I said, forget it. And I had to rent it just to get the full experience in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And not even to miss one, but just to watch it all at once would be enjoyable, as opposed to, you know, a half hour and then wait a day. Wrestling ones, as mentioned before. I wish I would have had like a geeky clerk running the stuff too that could have steered me in certain directions, you know, like the apes at a young age, or like Ragnar has mentioned with Godzilla versus Mothra, just to discover it at mm-hmm. a young age. Yep. But one of the things I found on my own was the 1960s Marvel cartoons, which I didn't know even existed. Like, I knew of Spider-Man because that was a big cartoon and it, you know, reappears in syndication a lot in my childhood.
Yeah.
But here's random Captain America one, random Fantastic Four one, Spider-Woman, The Fly, for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, random Iron Man ones. It's just this collection of like one or two, three episodes tops on these VHS. I thought, I didn't even know these existed. And, you know, some sort of Saturday morning, you know, Marvel jam pretty much that they then, you know, for reasons unknown to me in the 80s, decided someone wants these and we'll release them on VHS.
Yeah.
But that was my first exposure to, you know, a Marvel animated character other than the Spider-Man cartoon. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up with Super Friends, you know, various incarnations on cartoon shows. But for Marvel, it was that Spider-Man cartoon that was it. I was stunned to see that these were out there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had to get them all. I got, like, maybe, you know, one per trip and would cycle through to see it because I was just desperate for comic related anything at the time. You know, I knew my local shop. I bought what I could afford that I was interested in. But that was about it. You know, we might have the Batman, you know, Adam West Batman might reappear in syndication when a movie's happening or something. The Spider-Man one might come and, you know, syndication quick. Christopher Reeve Superman. But compared to today, there was nothing. I was so excited to find it.
Yep.
I think I may have even rented like a random Incredible Hulk TV episodes for the same reason.
I just wanted to jump in there because you mentioned that you didn't know that existed. I remember when the Dick Tracy movie came out in 1990.
Oh, the Tracy cartoon?
Yes. They did a Dick Tracy cartoon, I want to say in the 60s.
Yeah, it's horrible to watch then, and it's got to be even worse now.
Yeah, but I mean, I watched it anyway, because it was like...
Oh, yep.
But Dick Tracy never actually solved any of the cases. Like, he was just, like, he would introduce it, and then they'd have, like, some, all these different characters that I don't think... I just remember them being bad stereotypes. Like, I remember there's this one Mexican detective that wore a sombrero and stuff, mm-hmm. but... mm-hmm.
The Asian one's called Chop Chop. Yep.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that existed until the Dick Tracy movie came out, and then, boom, you know, the video store has all these old cartoons. And I just wanted to throw out there, like, I used to like I said, I used to rent the G.I. Joe, the Transformers. So when Entertainment Glory went out of business, they actually sold a lot of those. Basically, you could walk in there and say if you saw something you wanted, they would sell it to you. And I bought a bunch of those G.I. Joe and Transformer cartoons just because, you know, they're not available. Like, at the time, like, you couldn't stream them anywhere because, you know, streaming didn't exist. They weren't on any other TV channels. But, yeah, they didn't last long after I bought them just because they were already old tapes to begin with that had been played thousands and thousands of times. And then I think when VCRs got a little bit better, it demanded a better quality of tape. So like those tapes I bought, you'd see the lines, you would, you know, like there'd be distortions and it sucked. It was sad. And then, yeah, like one great thing about the video store is when shows would get canceled, like He-Man, you know, like, all of a sudden, He-Man's not on Saturday mornings anymore. You know, the only place I can watch it is renting the videos from the video store. So yeah, God bless him. Ragnar, your favorite rental, sir.
Well, I know we had a number of family favorites. For me, it was definitely the 1990 Ninja Turtles movie.
Nice.
Oh, good call.
Definitely, hands down. I watched that film so many times as a kid that when I rewatched it as an adult, having not seen it in over a decade, I still knew the entire movie word for word. My poor parents must have gotten so tired of watching that movie.
But what the great thing, though, about watching it now as an adult is you pick up on things you didn't necessarily pick up as a kid.
Oh, definitely.
Or you recognize people, like Sam Rockwell's in that movie.
Yep, that's right.
Like, he was a nobody, but he's like the teenage thug, you know, and it's probably one of his first movies he ever did.
Yeah, probably. So I remember I was at a comic convention in Hamilton, Ontario, and Judith Hogue, who played April O'Neil, was one of the guests.
Nice.
And I was so stoked. I finally got to go meet her, and she was just wonderful in person. Mm-hmm. Very kind and very friendly, and like asking questions about me, like not just talking about herself. This is the worst part, though. It's a Sunday afternoon. The convention ends at 5. She looks me dead in the eyes and says, I have to be on a plane in an hour. If I didn't have to be on a plane in an hour, I would ask you out for supper.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Was I ever mad I didn't go try to get an autograph the day before. But
I would have bought a plane ticket.
Yeah, right. Well, and I was seeing somebody at the time, and I messaged her, and I'm like, I think the actress who played April O'Neil in the 1990s Turtle movie just asked me out. Is that okay? And she texted back. She's like, oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Because she's still beautiful. Like,
oh, gorgeous.
Like, what?
Yeah, she might even be hotter now. Like, oh.
Because last year was the 30th anniversary, and I watched, they did like a 30th anniversary YouTube thing, and I watched, yeah. And I was just blown away, like, just how beautiful she is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was really funny and interesting, I was so mad, but I was still, like, made my whole weekend. It made my whole month.
Nice.
You know, like, wow. So I actually had given her one of the horn combs that I make.
Oh, nice.
So she actually, on my the autograph I got from her, it's like, you know, like she wrote like a whole paragraph, like, Dear Chris, it was so nice to meet you, and blah, 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 and good luck with all your horn products, and thanks so much for the comb. Like, it just goes on forever.
Nice.
Yeah. So... yeah, it was pretty cool, but definitely as a kid, going back to the topic at hand, 1990s Ninja Turtle movie, hands down.
Nice.
Yeah. I definitely remember renting things like the Masters of the Universe movie, which is, as an adult, pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But as a kid, I liked it. I remember my sister had a phase where she always wanted to rent those old Shirley Temple movies. And I remember, even back then, oh, I just hated them. Oh, they're so bad. They're so annoying. But, Ninja Turtles is definitely the one that stands out for me.
That's so funny that you mentioned Shirley Temple, because I was at a store today. I was actually looking at DVDs that they were selling at the store. And there was, I remember seeing Shirley Temple there, because my grandma was huge into Shirley Temple. Like, I think Shirley Temple and my grandma were the same age.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. She just loved Shirley Temple. But yeah, no, that's awesome. All right. So my next question is favorite movie store munchies. You know, like you go, you know, as a parent or as a kid with your parents, or as an adult, or as a parent with your kids. You know, if they were, like, I did go with my kids to the movie store before I closed. So, you know, they do remember. Maybe not my youngest so much, but my older two do. But what was the munchies that you liked to get when you would go there? In particular, like, I remember Entertainment Glory used to sell, like, the 5-cent candies. And, you know, like, they would pre-bag them. Or, you know, like, they had the display thing where, you know, they would lift it and you'd tell them, well, I want 5 of those, I want 10 of those, I want, you know, and they'd put it all in a bag. So I used to love the candies because I got a sweet tooth. But there was one in particular that I just absolutely loved. It was a sour cherry, like gummy or, like a gumball, I think. I can't remember what they're called. But they were so addicting. Like I just remember popping one in after another. Like they're sour, but they're also hot. And I remember just like, I probably burned like the roof of my mouth, because I popped in so many, one after the other.
Cherry chains or something like that?
Well, they were in balls. Like they were the size of like a 25 cent gumball. I can't remember what they were called though. Cherry. I'd have to ask my sister because she loved them too. But I just remember one time in particular renting RoboCop 2, watching it, and just I kept popping those, like, for the 2 hours I was watching that movie, I kept popping one after another, and I remember afterwards, like, my mouth being raw, and it kind of hurt a little bit, and I was, oopsie, overdid it. But other than that, you know, like, unfortunately, my local movie stores, they didn't do, like, the popcorn thing. Like, where, you know, like, they have the popcorn maker, like, at the movie theater. I know some do, or some did, I should say. But I know up here in Canada, I don't know if they still do it, because I don't deal with Scotiabank anymore. But Scotiabank used to have, like, Fridays, they would have popcorn at their banks, because they bought into Cineplex Odeon or something, I want to say. So Fridays they would have, like, you go to the bank on a Friday and you can get a bag of popcorn there too for free. It was awesome. But like I said, like, I don't bank there anymore, so I don't know if they still do that or not, but yeah, I wish our store had done popcorn or something like that. But Kevin, what was your favorite movie store munchie?
So my family is huge on Whoppers. I'm not totally sure if you have that in Canada or not.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In a box, you know, lined up with all the other boxes at a video place or any other store is fine, but the best way to eat them is out of the milk carton container looking package.
Mm-hmm.
I love Red Vines more so than Twizzlers, more so than other gummy candies, and the best thing to do with those is you bite it at both ends and then use it as a straw.
Nice.
So I'll usually, if I was going, you know, if I was going to drink, it's probably Mountain Dew or, you know, Code Red, Livewire, you know, whatever the gimmick Mountain Dew at the time would be. And all those came later. So, you know, when I was younger, it was probably Mountain Dew for it. And then, you know, I would look around and be like, well, I have Mountain Dew. I have my Whoppers. I have my Red Vines. I'm going to just be eating this stuff the whole time watching a movie or two movies or three, however many I have. I really need an actual meal here. So I would get Slim Jims because that's meat and protein and that's just like dinner.
Yeah. That's funny. But, yeah, so Ragnar, your favorite munchies.
So when I was a kid, what we always got to do was we'd, on a Saturday night, we'd get to go to the movie store, my sister would pick a movie, I'd pick a movie, and then usually there'd be a third movie that was kind of like one that everybody liked.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think there were probably some nights we did not get to watch all three movies. That seems like an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to go to the like a probably like a Max or a 7-Eleven type store, and we each got a dollar to buy candy, which back then, you know, 5-cent candies were actually 5 cent, and a dollar yep. got you a little baggie of candy. So that's what we would do. It's, you know, Sour Soothers and Cherry Blasters and Dino Sours, that kind of stuff. And then we'd go home and we'd make pizza, like homemade pizza.
Ooh.
And we'd eat pizza and watch movies and eat candies. So I still, to this day, love eating 5 cent candies. You put a bowl of Dino Sours or Sour Soother candies or cola bottles or anything like that in front of me, and I'm going to eat them until they're gone.
Awesome. Yeah, I still love the cola bottles. They're a guilty pleasure of mine.
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't really remember Red Vines. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't really a candy you could get up here.
It's real similar to Twizzlers.
Yeah.
But just different enough.
Okay.
That different enough that you would have a preference between the two.
Okay.
But they're also, while the Twizzler is like tightly wrapped, the Red Vine, it seems to be a little loose, which is why if you did bite at each end, you do have a hole that runs the whole length of it and can use it as a straw.
Cool.
But Twizzlers, you can't. It's, you know, tighter.
Yeah, it's too sticky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool. Well, whenever this pandemic ends and I go back to the States, I'll try and find a bag of Red Vines to try out.
Well, the thing is, the States definitely has the monopoly on, like, better treats. Like, better chocolate bars, better snacks, better variety, better prices. Yeah.
Well, that's why we're so fat and our health care is awful.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's because like to go off a quick tangent, like just going to a restaurant, like you guys get so like your meals are so filling, it's awesome. Like I just love it. You know, like I can't remember this one place we went to in Anaheim, but you would get like two, like say I ordered like a burger and fries. Cheeseburger and fries, but you'd get another side. So I'd get like, say, a Kraft or a macaroni and cheese. So you'd get that macaroni and cheese, fries, a burger, plus cornbread. Like it was so filling. It was so amazing. Like it was awesome. You know, but like you say, that could be why there's an obesity problem in the States. And there's one in Canada too. But the thing is, I think with ours, it's mostly due to inactivity because it's so cold, I'm thinking. That and it's way cheaper to eat junk food than it is to eat healthy. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for example, going to the store today, you know, this little thing of strawberries was like $5.99. And then I bought this 3-pack of large cheesies, I think it was like $3.99. So it's like $2 cheaper to buy this big bag of cheesies than it is to buy that little container of strawberries. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah,
the price of fresh produce up here is just insane.
It's crazy. And yeah, so much insane. And so much gets wasted. I don't understand it. So much gets wasted.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my next question to you guys is, do you have any funny stories or confrontations at the movie store? Did anything happen while you were there? The only one that really comes to mind for me is I remember renting Star Trek Generations from the Camp Creek store. And it was like a two-night rental or whatever. So I remember renting it, I remember watching it, and I remember my parents, I think what had happened is the Saturday night, I think my dad and mom went to like a ball social or something. So my dad was a little hungover on Sunday morning. So I didn't bother him until Sunday afternoon. And then I reminded him, I got to have this movie back to the Camp Creek store, or otherwise you guys are going to get a late fee. And I remember him being so pissed off, like, oh, Jesus, I got to go to the Camp Creek store. It was like a 20-minute drive, right? So I go with him, and he's speeding to the Camp Creek store because he just wants to drop this stupid Star Trek movie off and get back home. And we get pulled over by the cops. And my dad gets a speeding ticket, you know. So my dad was so pissed. And it's like, sorry, Dad, you know, but you shouldn't have been speeding. But, like, I was, I don't know, 14 at the time, something like that, 15 maybe. Star Trek Generations had just come out. And I remember renting it, because it wasn't available at Entertainment Galore or something. Like, it was already reserved. So we rented it from Camp Creek Store, or my mom rented it, so... And I think maybe she was too hungover to drive the next day. I don't know. I can't remember. But I just remember my dad being mad. And I don't know what that speeding... I want to say it was like at least... Oh, no, what... He got... I think he got a double ticket. Now that I think about it, I think he got a speeding ticket and a no seatbelt ticket. I think he got the double whammy. I think that's why he was particularly pissed off. Kevin... Any funny stories or confrontations at your movie store?
Yeah, I just want to say first, at that point, you should have just kept the movie for the extra day, because the late fee would have been cheaper than the two tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what I suggest. I think that's what I suggested to them, but they didn't know. They didn't want to.
I remember going to rent the aforementioned Last Dragon. And they put the wrong movie in. Ooh. I thought, this is the movie I wanted to watch. It's got a dragon title, but I don't want to watch that. And I was mad, and I just decided, well, I guess I won't get a movie this time. And my mom felt bad. Oh, I'll go back. I said, no, you know, it's already done and over with. I wasn't going to argue it. But I was definitely disappointed in everything. Looking back, though, that would have been brilliant if me as a kid said, well, let me see what this is, and popped in Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon. But all I cared about is it's not the movie I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I didn't, you know, oh, well, let me see what this is. And I could have been exposed to Bruce Lee at a young age and just, mm-hmm. I would have loved the movie.
Oh, man. When you were, I mean, Bruce Lee is still amazing, but as a kid, oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yep. Especially that movie, too, would have been awesome. But
no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you missed out there, man.
I remember when my friends worked for Blockbuster, so we'd frequently go in and just, you know, spend way too much time, wait for them to get done, or, you know, harass them or whatever. But one of the things I enjoyed was being present when they would get people calling up asking if they had copies of movies that were brand new in the theater.
Oh.
No. Well, do you have this movie? No. Well, why not? Because it's in theater, but it says it's everywhere. It's in every theater. Why don't you? So you don't have it? No. Well, why not? Are you sold out? No, we don't have it. It's in theater. Will we have it tomorrow? No. In like 6 months, we'll have it. I'm thinking, these are not new. Like VHS and now DVD have been around for a while. People should get used to release dates by now and understand.
Yep.
It's in theater first. And then home video, and then maybe like an HBO thing, and then cable, and then network TV, and, you know, here we are 5 years later by the time we get through all that. But no, just absolute ignorance for it. These are also the people, though, that would say, oh, well, I want... And I'm just picking something for example here, because the movie came along later. Mm-hmm. It'd be people saying, well, it says you have Avengers there. I want to rent it. All right, go right ahead and rent Avengers. It's not Marvel. It's going to be an Uma Thurman movie, you know, but they would just say it's your fault for being ignorant and not knowing what this is here.
Yep.
And, you know, we made the money, but just constant stupidity for it. My local one that as I got into like teenage years, I could go to on my own. It was within walking distance from the house. Just, you know, oh, let me rent something tonight. they didn't have the movies out, because every place is different. The movies are, you know, out on the shelf, inside the sleeve, they're behind it, they're whatever. They had little flags, kind of like the little clips that when you close up a loaf of bread, it looked like that.
Okay.
And they were on hooks in front of the movies. So a big release might have like 20 of these clips, and it might only have like four spots. But they would have all 20 clips across the four spots. As long as there's a little clip thing there, you knew that they had a copy.
Yeah.
And they'd have a little number on it and all. So you'd take it up and they'd say, oh, it's, you know, tape 4,000. They'd go tape 4,000. That's the one you want. You'd take it home. And all of the tapes were behind the counters, which is a good theft idea and, you know, keeps it neat. And then they would just hang up the hook in their area. So when it returned, they'd remove the hook, put it back on the sales floor. It means we got it again. They did all of the movies like this, all of them. So as I was older and, you know, would go check out from the beaded curtain area. And again, same Last Dragon, Enter Your Dragon thing, come home with the wrong movie. I've learned the lesson of Last Dragon, Enter Your Dragon of, hey, even though it's the wrong movie, maybe I'd still enjoy the movie. However, for that genre, that world of titles, if you don't know what you're getting, I don't know that's worth trying it. You might see something you weren't planning on.
Yeah.
So, but again, within walking distance, I'm like, I have to just leave it and not watch this and or you know, record it on the second VCR so I'd have it later. I have to just leave it and I'm out rental, because if I go back, I'm either the connoisseur of this. It's like, this is not the movie I wanted.
Yeah.
coming back within an hour. Or they think I'm done with it within an hour and need another one for my fix. And then I'm the addict. I was like, either way, I'm losing here by going back.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, I'm out that money tonight.
Yeah.
I remember back in my bachelor days, I dated a couple, at different times, a couple girls that worked at video stores, and I didn't even think about it, right, until I guess it would have been the second girl that I was dating, and she worked at a different video store, and I don't know, we got to talking, and then she's like, she kind of threw it out there. She's like, yeah, you know, I looked you up on the computer. I'm like, oh? And yeah, we have, you know, because that's when they were using the scanners and they kept, you know, records of everything and the guy, everything you rented. And I'm, oh man, I was thinking to myself, she knows all the porn I've watched. That's kind of awkward now. But she never held, she never held it against me, you know, like, I was like, it felt kind of like an invasion of privacy. It's like, I don't think you're supposed, you know, it's like, you're dating a nurse and she's looking up your medical file. Like, I don't know. Like it was weird.
Like present day for different rules and laws for stuff like that. Like libraries keep track of what is currently checked out, just so they know who has it.
Yeah.
As soon as you return it, it's gone.
There's
no record of it. There's no history, nothing. And for various reasons, like you're saying for that, but also things, you know, what if someone's taking out books on, you know, how to get out of an abusive relationship? You know, it could be anything, but it is personal and there doesn't have to be record. All they need at this point, all honestly a video store would need, past, present, future, is we need to know what's out now so we know where our product is so we can get it back.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, this is like 20 years ago, so I think at that time it was porn and G.I. Joe. That's what I was renting. Ragnar. Any funny stories or confrontations at the movie store?
Well, I don't remember any confrontations. I definitely always avoided the Clerks because I didn't want their opinions on the films I rented. Because I generally rented, I wouldn't say like weird stuff, but definitely not the most mainstream things, especially as I got older.
Yep.
So I usually just tried to avoid them. But I do remember at Video Update, once the movie started being on DVD instead of VHS, if you had a movie and it was scratched and it wouldn't play in your player, when you brought it back, they would just give you a free credit.
Yep.
As soon as I figured that out, then I just never paid for movies again. So I would like buy it, bring it back. Oh, it was scratched. It wouldn't play. Oh, okay. They give you a credit and just rent another movie. And I just did that indefinitely. And I always thought, you know, you think at some point they'd look at my file and see that
yep.
every single movie doesn't play, but they never did.
Nice.
Yeah.
So they're just thinking you have the worst luck.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it did happen legitimately a few times. You'd rent a DVD movie, bring it home, start watching it, and then it would get all screwy because it was scratched. Oh, that was so frustrating.
Oh, yeah. That was the worst.
There really wasn't much you could do to it. Like, you had to take it somewhere that had a polishing machine. So I remember that being really annoying. But, yeah, then I figured out the loophole, and I just exploited it.
Nice. So, something else that used to be really annoying with VHS tapes is the ones that didn't rewind them.
Oh, yeah.
That used to drive me nuts. Because, like in this documentary, they said that was, like, you would get charged for that at Blockbuster. But I don't remember that being, like, a chargeable offense at any of the video stores I went to. But I remember that was not something that they also did not look for that, either. Because there were times I would get the VHS tape, and it's, like, at the credits. I'm like, damn it. You know, got to rewind, got to wait while it rewinds. Eventually, I got one of those rewinders, like where you just stick the tape in and all that thing does, because it does it so much faster than the VCR. But yeah, so. All right, before we end this topic, I have one more question for you. What was your most expensive late fee? Did you get any late fees, and what was the most expensive? For myself, we had our local Motor Inn, during the mid 90s, they started renting movies. So our family started an account there, and my cousin Tyler was living with us at the time. And I remember going there, and this is after my cousin Tyler moved away. I decided to go there to rent a movie, and he had $38 in late fees. Of course, they won't let me rent a movie unless it's paid. And the thing is, it's a local business. Like, they know me there, right? And they're like, well, you know, this needs to be paid. And I was like a 16-year-old kid. Like, $38 was a lot of money for me.
Yeah.
So I paid it. And my cousin Ty never did pay me back for that. And I mean, I'd throw it out there because he moved away. He moved like 3 hours away, so I didn't see him all the time. But every once in a while, he'd pop out or whatever, and I'd be like, "Hey, remember that $38? Oh yeah. I gotta get to a bank machine. I'll get it for you. Yep." And then never happened. So that's probably the most expensive late fee, but. One of the reasons why I stopped going to the movie store to rent movies, like I said, in the last few years, I basically went to the movie stores to buy movies, to, you know, like buy, like, you know, the seasons of Lost, Battlestar Galactica, those type of things. Like, this is pre-streaming, and like, yeah. when I would buy collections of TV series to have. So in the last few years, that's all I really went to the movie store for. But I remember going there one time to rent a movie, and this is like probably 10, 13 years ago now. And my wife, of course, we had a family account, and she had rented some movies and incurred some late fees. And they won't let you rent a movie unless you pay these late fees. So I did this a few times, And it was never my late fees. It was always her late fees. And then eventually it's like, you know what? I'm just not going to rent movies anymore. You know, like, because, I mean, at that point, I was also going to the theaters a lot more. So if there was a movie I wanted to see, I would go to the theater to watch it. And if it was a movie that I really loved, I would buy it. So I didn't really need to rent anything anymore. So I kind of stopped renting just because I got tired of paying other people's late fees. Especially when I reminded her to take those movies back. And she assured me she did, but she didn't. So anyway, Kevin, what was your most expensive late fee?
So I think, you know, for all of our young listeners, VHS and DVD have always been affordable to them.
Yep.
You know, $20, $25 on average. But when they first came out, the idea was that the movie studios were worried they would lose money. They didn't think anyone would do it. So they charged your video rental stores $100 per tape. Now, eventually, like, Disney broke it, and, you know, some of your bigger ones, oh, it's only $20, $25, $30, whatever. Yeah. I remember, like, the aforementioned Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie was like, oh, it's going to be dirt cheap for Christmas time, Batman 89, stuff like that. But most of them still, like, I was in college, and there were still video rental places open, so it wasn't that long ago, and independent or smaller ones that they didn't think they'd get a lot of money of they still charged $100. Your big ones might be 20, but anything else was 100.
Yep.
And as much as I love Kevin Smith, I was not paying $100 to replace their copy of Chasing Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no way.
Love that movie. I own it on DVD. I don't think I have the VHS still floating around somewhere. If I knew where it was, I would have given it back. But I was like, I'm not paying $100 for this. And what really got me is I knew if I looked at a big enough store, like where I was at the area, I didn't have big enough stores. But I knew if I was in, you know, a bigger city that had like a Best Buy even or something like that, mm-hmm. I knew I could find it for $20. I knew, yep. I could. I knew they just wanted what they originally paid. I'm like, you've had that movie for long enough that I could get it for cheaper, and I could just bring you a new copy for much cheaper than you're charging me.
Yep.
Yeah. But like you said, I just stopped going, though. So at the end of the day, I just stopped going. And I wonder, because so many people say that, too. I know like a lot of libraries have gotten rid of late fees because it's just not worth losing the clientele. But you got to imagine a lot of video rental stores, people didn't want to pay the late fee, so stopped going. All right, where are you losing more money? Because mm-hmm. if these people came in every week renting a couple movies, you know, let's say $10 a week to get a few, times every week they came in is more money than that one late fee that you could have waived.
Yep. Yeah. Crazy. Ragnar, what was your most expensive late fee?
I don't really remember any exceptional late fees. Towards the end of when I stopped renting movies, it was because you could go to HMV and buy movies cheap enough.
Yeah.
That I started, instead of renting movies, I started just buying them. Lots of times they'd have like the 2 for $25, 3 for $30. You know, and in that price range, I would often just buy a movie rather than renting it.
Yep, me too.
I'm pretty sure there was like one time where I returned movies late and I knew there would be a late fee, and I just never went back to the rental store after that. I'm pretty sure it's just like, it's probably only like $8, but screw it, I'm just going to not go back. And eventually the store closed, and that was that.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't remember any. I guess I was a decently good at returning them, because I don't remember any exceptional late fees.
Yeah, yeah, no, I was always good at returning them myself. It was those associated with my account that incurred your the late fee
associates.
Yeah. But yeah, people say, you know, streaming killed the video store. But this, you know, that documentary kind of says no, like they kind of did it to themselves, you know, and it's too bad, you know, that they didn't, I don't know, it's too bad that, you know, movie companies and all that didn't work a little bit harder to keep them viable. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I would, you know, theorize that 15 to 20 years from now, we'll be watching the same documentary, but about movie theaters.
Yeah.
Movie theaters weren't doing so great anyways, and then this pandemic hit, and depending how much longer this crap goes on, some of those movie theaters are just going to never reopen.
Yeah, like I feel bad for my local movie theater here in Barrhead.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, a mom and pop outfit. They're not, you know, Famous Players. They're not, you know, Cineplex Odeon or whatever, or Landmark or whatever. But every Friday and Saturday they have popcorn sales. So you can go to the theater and buy popcorn. And I
take it home.
Yep. And that's what I've been doing on my weekends off. Because I mean, it's great popcorn. I love movie theater popcorn. I'm a huge fan of it.
You just cannot replicate it at home.
No, you can't.
You really can't.
And, you know, this is my way of helping to support them during this time. Because I don't want our local theater to go away. I mean, our local theater's been in business, I think, since the 50s. And I really don't want to see them go out of business. I really don't.
Yeah.
So any little bit, I guess, you know, try to do. But anyway, let's move on to our brain candy segment. So this is the segment where we discuss something that we've watched or listened or read, and we make it a pick or a pan. Ragnar, do you have anything for brain candy this week?
Can you come back to me? Because I totally do, but I'm blanking right now.
Okay, no problem. I'll start. I got a few things. I don't know if you guys have been watching Invincible on Amazon Prime. It's the animated series based on the Robert Kirkman comic book. And I got to say, Invincible is probably my favorite comic book of all time. I love that comic book series. And this animated series is doing it justice big time. And I love the voice actors that they have. Like Steven Ewan is playing the main character, Mark Grayson, and he was best known as Glenn on The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Glenn was great, man.
Yeah. Sandra Oh plays his mom. J.K. Simmons is his dad, Omni-Man. And I know Seth Rogen plays Alan the Alien, and I know Seth Rogen is one of the producers of this as well as Robert Kirkman, of course. It's worth it. It's so good. Like, they've got, I think, 4 episodes so far. Like, they release new episodes on Fridays. Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. I just finished my rewatch of the good episodes of Star Trek Enterprise. and I say the good episodes because I got a list online that I shared with Ragnar, where this guy went, he did a rewatch of the series, and he ranked them as watch for continuity, skippable, and do not watch. So I watched the watch for continuity and watch episodes. And I gotta say, it made watching Enterprise so much better. Like, that first season, like, when I first started my rewatch, I was watching every episode of season one, and it was rough. I thought about giving up a few times, and then I came across this list, and that was like the magic cure. And I appreciate Enterprise so much more. Like when they did good episodes, they were good. And yeah, I literally got to the series finale. I checked out because I know I've watched that a couple times, and still pisses me off. The series finale. but I couldn't believe it. It's like, holy shit, it's done already? Like, oh man. Like, I guess I could go back and watch the skip and skippable episodes, but I don't know. And last but not least, I want to talk about another series that's on Amazon in Canada. I believe it's on Paramount Plus in the States. And that's The Stand. And this is based on the Stephen King novel. It's the new version with Alexander Skarsgård as I want to call him Colonel Flag, but it's not. It's Flag. It's not Colonel Flag. But basically, he's like the devil or the son of the devil. I'm not entirely sure. I just assumed all through this series that he was the devil. But then Whoopi Goldberg has a line where she says he's just like his father. So it's like, okay, so is he the son of the devil then? I thought Alexander Skarsgård, I thought Whoopi Goldberg were fantastic. Whoopi Goldberg, you know, can act. She really can. And,
oh, she's great.
She was fantastic in the show. I really liked it. I've never read the book, I must say, but from what I understand, from what I've, you know, watching certain review videos and so on and so forth, I understand a lot was left out. Possibly, this could have been, like, because it's all wrapped up in one season. It's just a one-season series. But it could have been a two- or three-season series had they explored the characters a little more in-depth. And had not dropped storylines, because there were apparently some storylines that got dropped. The Heavy Spoiler Show on YouTube found it disappointing, but I give it a solid 3.5 out of 5. My wife and I enjoyed watching it, and like the last three episodes we watched back to back to back. Like, we didn't finish, like, we finished the last episode, I think it was like 1:30 in the morning. Because we, you know, like, it's like, it kept going, and we wanted to find out what happened. And if you are a Stephen King fan, he is part of this production. And apparently the final episode is it's not how the book ends, and it's not how the original miniseries ends. It's its own thing now. It's a new version of the ending that Stephen King wrote specifically for this. So I liked it, you know, but I do wish it had maybe been more like some of the things that I glossed over. I think some of the actors, you know, kind of missed out because they were rushing things a little bit, you know, like they had some really good actors involved in this. And I really think they could have went two or three more seasons, and Amber Heard's even in it. And I actually thought she did pretty good, to be honest with you. Like, I know she's catching a lot of grief with the whole Johnny Depp thing, but she was pretty good in this, I gotta say. Kevin, do you have anything this week for Brain Candy?
Okay. I finally, the other night, sat down and watched Parasite.
Oh, is that the Korean film?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's so good. And I think the title throws people off, because I'll mention it. People are like, what is it, like Human Centipede or something? I was like, no, it's not horror at all, really. It's a thriller. It's intense. It's will, you know, fill you with dread and anxiety and nervousness and, you know, vicariously living through the TV and flipping out for every twist and turn. I was like, but it's not, I won't say it's horror. But just the story as it unfolds and progresses, the way it's filmed, the way every bit of scenery and everything conveys more of the story going on and implies more on class hierarchy, on, you know, your place in society, on attaching yourself to other people. It was so good. And I shouldn't, you know, it's just taken me a while to watch. It always sounded interesting. I was curious about it. Someone at work let me borrow it. It's taken me months to finally sit down and watch it. movie's about 2 hours long. It took me 4 hours to watch it because things would happen and I'd have to pause and just walk away.
Really?
Like, I can't believe they just went there. I can't believe this twist just happened. You know, whatever it may have been. But I like, he did a monster movie years before Parasite called Host, which is so good. Like, really good, you know, Korea doing, it's not even a kaiju movie, because it's not, you know, with giant man in suit stepping on city. So I can't even call it that, but it's kind of in that vein with his personal touch to it.
Okay.
And then I realized he directed the Snowpiercer movie, so now I have to see that too.
Yeah, that's one that's on my
Snowpiercer.
Yeah, that's one that's on my bucket list to watch because Chris Evans is in it. So.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What else did I go through? Oh, and I'm also for the other podcast. Currently in the middle of season 3 of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling Glow. Oh,
nice. Nice.
So we, the three of us do that podcast. We'd never really watched Glow before. Like, you know, every one of us saw it, random episodes in syndication in the 80s. You know, you're flipping through and it was usually like a Saturday morning syndicated show. I saw a couple, but I swear it was always on when there was something else I wanted to watch on, you know, more, so I didn't really see a whole lot of it. I don't think we knew what we were getting into. it's a sketch show with wrestling. It's not a wrestling show. It's kind of like watching a you can't do that on television.
Oh, okay.
Kind of idea for it. Because it's just like, you know, here's the dumb jokes and the skits and the sketches and all, and then here's a match, and most of the women can't wrestle at all.
No.
But their gimmicks are so fun and entertaining and goofy. But then when you have someone that's actually trying and can wrestle, it stands out and you're like, oh, wow, there's someone that can work here. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff looking at 80s humor and innuendo and just bad taste jokes now is just eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, this isn't watching it like, oh, that person's terrible. No, they were doing a job. They were given a script for a show. They did the script. They did their character. You know, I'm not holding anything against anyone for it. But with all the WWE Network shut down in America and everything moved over to the Peacock app, and Peacock is currently going through all the WWE content to pull stuff out of it that could be seen as offensive now. And pro wrestling, it's been offensive from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just part of it. There's always going to be stuff. So we're making the jokes on most of these Glow episodes have stuff that would not fly right now at all. And then I am just hamming it up on the show and making my own terrible jokes too.
Nice.
Like just, you know, dad joke groaners of humor.
Yeah.
But it I will admit it's tough at times to sit through a whole episode. And I usually got to sit through two. I need a break. Not a break like Parasite. Parasite, I need a break to think and absorb it and really get into it. This I need a break of. This is awful. I need to just walk away for a moment. But it's just the dumbest fun show I've seen in a while.
Awesome. Quick question.
In the States, it's on Tubi and on Pluto.
Okay. So quick question about Parasite. Is it dubbed into English, or do you got to read subtitles?
No, I did the subtitled one.
Oh, okay.
And it flowed so well.
Does it? Okay.
Really good. Yeah, because, like, I was watching a wrestling thing earlier tonight, night we record, that was live, and they have their weird, you know, AI live text thing going on.
Okay.
And you can tell the stuff that's messed up. I'm like, all right, that's clearly not what was said. You know,
yeah.
Your computer thinks that's what was said, but it's clearly wrong. This was perfect.
Okay.
Absolutely perfect subtitles on it.
Excellent.
I wasn't confused at all. I was shocked. I was surprised. I was stunned by things, but I was never confused.
Okay.
So, yeah, subtitles were great on it.
All right, cool. Ragnar, do you have anything for Brain Candy?
Okay. I was trying to think earlier, like, what show am I binge watching right now? And I just drew a blank. Anyways, I'm currently working through the CGI animated Clone Wars series.
Nice.
Nice.
I've never watched it. I'm familiar with some of the characters, mostly just from doing Comic Cons and seeing people cosplaying them, and I have a lot of Star Wars friends. It's a little hokey at times. Some of the writing is a little choppy, and I think there's only like three voice actors that supply all of the voices for it. But overall, I'm really enjoying it. I think I'm just about done season one, and yeah, I like it. I definitely, watching this, I definitely see Dave Filoni's influence on The Mandalorian is very apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm watching it, because so much of the stuff that happened, especially in season two of The Mandalorian, is all connected to the Clone Wars series, that I figure I might as well go and watch it in preparation of whenever, you know, the next Mandalorian series comes out, because I think it's going to be following those storylines. I'm watching it. It's a bit different, but I definitely like it more than I liked the prequels or the sequels. And if somebody really likes The Mandalorian and wants more to watch, well, you know, this is scratching that itch for me.
Nice. I had watched Star Wars Rebels, but I've never actually watched the Clone Wars. That's one that's on my to-do list for sure. I've watched some scenes on YouTube, like, not to spoil anything, but like, you know, when Darth Maul shows up, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, you see Count Dooku,
mm-hmm.
and it looks kind of like Count Dooku, but, like, they've stylized everyone, so they all look different. The only one that looks the exact same is Yoda. Yoda looks the same as Yoda.
Yep.
And everybody else is stylized, so it's kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, right? But, yeah, it's cool. And because it was animated, they were able, especially in, like, some of the lightsaber duels, they were able to do tons of stuff that they really weren't able to do in the live actions.
Yeah.
So that was, they're pretty good. Yeah, and they go by fast. They're not very long episodes, and they're mostly full of action, so they go by pretty quick.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll move on to our last segment of the evening, and that is our Enders segment. And this is the segment where we bring up any geek news that we saw this past week. For me, the big thing, well, using air quotes, the big thing as a Star Trek fan. Star Trek Picard, Season 2. It's confirmed that Q is going to be on it. Maybe Q can fix up all the things they fucked up in Season 1. Maybe. You know, he can snap his fingers. He's got better snapping abilities than Thanos. But yeah, it's confirmed that John DeLancey is going to be joining Star Trek Picard. And I also know, because I saw this when Season 1 of Star Trek Picard was on the air, Patrick Stewart went on The View. And as we know, Whoopi Goldberg is one of the ladies on The View. Yeah. And this is pre-pandemic, of course. And he went on there and asked Whoopi Goldberg if she'd be willing to come back as Guinan for Season 2, and she agreed. And studio audience clapped and cheered. And so, as far as I'm concerned, that's, you know, because Patrick Stewart is one of the executive producers out of the 20 or 30 they have, that this is going to happen. So we got Q coming back, we got Guinan coming back, we got Android Picard coming back, who's... I still don't know what the fuck's going on here. Like, and I was thinking about this the other day. There's so many things I don't understand what happened. And I mean, I'm a pretty intelligent guy. I don't really think it's me. I think it's really bad writing. Like, what were those twins doing? Like, what was their missions? Why did they not remember anything? I don't think that was ever explained. What was Bruce Maddox doing? Why did he leave that paradise android world? Why was he on the run? Why was he a different actor? I, you know, so many questions. So, but Kevin was with me on this journey. Like when I took this journey to Star Trek Picard, pre Picard release and then post release. And Kevin can attest, I had high hopes. I had my fingers crossed. I was like, please don't screw this up, Alex Kurtzman. Please don't screw this up. And he did. So I don't know. Season two, like John DeLancey, I have to tune in because I love Whoopi Goldberg. I love John DeLancey. I do love Patrick Stewart. I really wish he had, I don't know, done better in season one. But there, because they had First Contact Day, I guess, I think is April 5th. And that's like it's like May the 4th, but it's for Star Trek. First Contact Day. I want to say April 5th or April 6th when the Vulcans, you know, come to Earth in First Contact. So that's when CBS, Paramount released all this stuff. So there's a new trailer for Star Trek Discovery, which I did not click on. Don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, they got... It looks like they updated their uniforms on Star Trek Discovery. Because when I saw their uniforms there when Captain Burnham there got command of Discovery, you know, it looked pretty shitty. I think someone at Paramount got the message and put some color into them. But again, from what I seen out of the stills, you know, it looks like Michael Burnham's crying. It's looking like, you know, she's going to cry again a bunch. So not really my cup of tea. There's a new season of Lower Decks coming out. Riker's going to be in it, I guess. Yay. Not for me. And then, Ragnar, you were mentioning that there's like a Captain Janeway cartoon or something coming out.
Well, it's not about her, but she's going to be in it. It's a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Okay.
I'm sure if we Google it, we can find the name, but I can't think of the name off the top of my head.
Oh, that's fine.
But it's an animated Nickelodeon cartoon about a group of kids who find an abandoned Starfleet vessel and go on adventures in it. And Janeway is going to appear as the hologram that teaches them how to pilot the ship.
Hmm.
So she'll probably be kind of like the Magic School Bus, and Janeway is, you know, the teacher that helps them is kind of how it's going to be.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, Nickelodeon usually puts out pretty good cartoons. And even though they're aimed at kids, they're usually entertaining enough for adults. So
yeah,
of all the new Star Trek stuff that I'm hearing about, that's one of the ones I might consider trying to check out.
Yeah.
I'm certainly more interested in that than in watching more of Discovery or Lower Decks or even the new Picard, even with Q and Guinan, is probably still going to blow.
Yeah, it probably is. So, but you make a good point with the Nickelodeon thing. I never thought of that. Because, I mean, you got Avatar The Last Airbender that came out of there. Korra, The Legend of Korra. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Like, yeah, they've
Rugrats.
Yeah, they've done some pretty good animation. So
yeah, they've put out some good stuff. They seem to focus a little bit more on writing, which you wouldn't really expect in a kid show, but they do. They really work on their writing, and it shows. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like one of the series that I'm, you know, getting back to this year, is Avatar: The Last Airbender. Last time I watched it was 10 years ago, and so I started rewatching season one. And even season one, like some of the things that they were planting, it's like, holy crap, I never realized, you know, because it doesn't come to pay off until like season three. But right from day one, like they knew where they were going and they went there, and it was awesome. But anyway, gentlemen, do either of you have anything you want to throw out there for Enders?
Well, I was just going to say, there was a new Ghostbusters trailer that came out this week.
Oh, true.
I don't know if you saw it, Chris, but it's for the upcoming movie, which I think they changed the title on. I thought it was called Ghostbusters Answer the Call, but I see it's called something else now.
No, the all-woman one is now Answer the Call, and this one's going to be Afterlife.
Afterlife, yes. Okay. Well, and it is Afterlife is a direct continuation of the original two films. It's not a reboot or a remake. It's a direct sequel. The remaining cast who are still alive are all set to appear in it. And it was supposed to come out last year, but of course the pandemic hit. And there was a new trailer involving marshmallows. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I saw some discussion of it on social media, but I never actually watched it myself because I watched the first trailer like a year and a half ago or whatever. And I was a little underwhelmed. I was like,
Well, it didn't really show anything.
No. And
I don't mind that because sometimes trailers show you the whole movie and then there's no point seeing it.
Well, and this movie also has Paul Rudd in it, and I love Paul Rudd.
Mm-hmm. And he's what the new trailer's about.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll probably check out. To be honest, I completely forgot about this whole movie until I saw this week. I was like, oh, yeah, there was it.
So, a lot of the film was shot in and around the Lethbridge, Alberta area.
Okay.
And I have a friend who lives in Lethbridge. His name is Sean, and he is obsessed with Ghostbusters, like foaming at the mouth, full crazy obsessed with Ghostbusters.
Cool.
So he, when they were shooting it, like he tracked down the filming locations and he was like sneaking around trying to get onto the sets, and he got to meet Dan Aykroyd. He got to get his picture taken in the real Ecto-1. He got to get his picture taken next to the stunt Ecto-1 or Ecto-1.
Yep.
And he got an autograph from Dan Aykroyd on a Slimer figurine.
Nice.
So just from hanging around the set so often that eventually one of the guys was like, oh, you should go knock on the window of that car over there. And he did, and it was Dan Aykroyd just chilling in his car. So,
well, that's cool. Yeah.
So, and of course, you know, he was posting about that before it was even announced that Dan Aykroyd was going to be in the film. But now that's not a secret anymore. That's public knowledge. And we don't know. They might just have a cameo. They might be in the whole film. We don't know that part yet.
So when is this supposed to be released, did they say?
The current release date is November 11th, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But as we've seen from COVID, that is subject to change.
Yeah, you unfortunately.
Know, we're all assuming that by November we'll all be vaccinated and we can put COVID in the rearview mirror, but there's no guarantees on that.
Yeah. Even with a vaccination, like I talked to a person today and she said that, her family member had been vaccinated and then they ended up getting COVID. Like they got both shots.
There was already a case in, somewhere in Quebec at a care home, long-term care home. Everyone in the care home was vaccinated and they still had a COVID outbreak and they had to put the whole facility under lockdown.
Yeah.
And everyone had received both shots. So even with the vaccine, this lockdown mess that we're in might not end.
Yeah. Well,
which is a very depressing thought.
It is. I'm
sorry to be set down.
I'm very hopeful that Ghostbusters will be in theaters. And I will definitely go. It is one of those films, you know, I will go to my local to watch it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, not just because it's Ghostbusters, but to support the theater, you know, because I don't want to see theaters close. I really don't. I love going to the movie theaters. But anyway, Kev, do you have anything for Enders this week?
So for listeners for previous ones, I kind of keep tabs on business side of comic stuff happening.
Yep.
So past week, Marvel announced that Diamond will no longer be the exclusive shipper for Marvel Comics. They are now going to go through Penguin.
Yep.
Book publisher. Diamond can get them if they want, but they gotta buy them just like anyone else. Marvel said any comic store, if it's just easier, continue going through Diamond, you can, or you can go through Penguin. Oh, by the way, Penguin's going to have free shipping for you. That alone is going to be enough to get every comic store to switch over.
Oh, yeah.
Save the shipping costs for all that.
Yep.
So it doesn't go into effect until October, November. So the just announced Marvel doing the Predator from the Predator movies mm-hmm. comic that was going to be, because when Marvel brought an Alien in March, it sold 300,000 copies plus all the variants, plus variant Alien covers for other comics, plus they got all the old Dark Horse stuff that they can re-release. We're talking like near a million copies of things sold.
Yep.
One of the biggest sellers of the year. They were going to do all that with Predator. It got pulled. Like, it's in the May previews that I'm about to fill out orders for. Huh. Or the June one. It got pulled until this Penguin thing happens. Because if you're going to have something else sell 300,000 copies, maybe up to a million, you want to make sure you got it for your new publisher there.
Yep.
So within a week of previews coming out, like, here is this big Predator thing coming out, they pulled it and said, nope, it's not coming out till fall now. Oh. Can't tell you why. Well, we kind of know why.
Yeah.
But I was talking to my local shop. I go, so what? I need like 3 magazines now to figure out what to order. I need the big previews. I need the Marvel one. I need the DC one. And they're like, well, the Marvel one's already a separate one anyways. So, yeah, true. But they said, half of our stuff is DC. You tell us half of our stuff is now going to ship for free. That alone saves money for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then with it being Penguin, oh my gosh, if I can see, you know, a comic spinner rack or comics on the magazine stand of a bookstore again, that doesn't just benefit me. That might get other, you know, people that mm-hmm. don't go to comic shops to read stuff.
Yep.
If anything, I think it will be, you know, can lead to increased readership and better numbers and, you know, real boon for it. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I kind of feel sorry for whatchamacallit there.
Diamond, yeah, it seems everyone's jumping.
But, I mean, they held the monopoly for so long, and, you know, they pissed off so many people for so long that, you know, now they're getting their comeuppance.
Yep. Yep.
But, all right.
Maybe in a year we'll do the documentary, The Last Diamond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, all right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I think we'll call this an episode. So before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet? So I just want to throw this out. Well, I did do a blog for the first time today. On the randomnerdness .blogspot.com because the last time I blogged was February, so took a little time off, but it's a political blog, this one, so it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but it's about vaccines and the pandemic and stuff. But anyway, you can check out my blog at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. I manage the Pop Culture Pub podcast network group on Facebook, as well as the Incredible Fans of the Incredible Hulk group on Facebook, so be sure to check those out. And the Geek Fallout Reloaded episode for spring 2021 is going to be coming out, I'm thinking, in the next month or so. So it'll be on this feed. So be on the lookout for the new episode, a new episode of Geek Fallout. It's been a few years, but we're coming back. In a quarterly fashion. Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
All right, you can find me on this fine podcast, of course, but also masklibrary.com is my home blog for all sorts of posts, at masklibrary across most of social media. And if you like my voice, I also do a retro wrestling podcast over on the Retro Network called The House Show, this season called The House Glow.
Nice. Cool. Ragnar, where can we find you, sir?
Well, of course, previous episodes and other episodes of the Pop Culture Pub podcast, especially the Deep Space Nine ones. And if you're interested in Viking stuff, specializing in handmade horn products, RagnarTheTrader.com is my main website.
Excellent. Excellent. I just ordered a necklace this week.
You sure did, and I threw it in the mail, and then I remembered that I had a tiny little something that I wanted to send you, and I forgot to include it.
Oh, that's okay. Next time, I'm sure I'll be ordering more.
So you've actually got two small envelopes coming. Oh, your way.
Well, thank you. I actually ordered the necklace for a friend.
I had a feeling it wasn't for you.
Yeah. But as soon as I seen it, I was like, my friend will appreciate this. Awesome. But yes, definitely check out Ragnar's stuff. It's awesome. Especially, I love the drinking mugs. You know, fantastic.
Thank you very much.
No problem. All right. Well, I think we'll call this an episode. This was, the title is Streaming Killed the Video Store? My name is Chris Lockhart. I was joined by my co-hosts, Ragnar and Kevin Decent. And I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. And we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.